Brandon Peebles off today celebrating one of the multitude of graduations that is taking place at Kansas State University. In fact, the graduate school graduation ceremonies are already underway at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. I'm Troy Coverdale in for Brandon as we turn our attention to the Dean of Students at Kansas State University. Thomas Lane joins us now, and it's great to have reached this point through what has been a trying 18 months. Graduations actually taking place today and tomorrow and Sunday, Mother Nature permitting.
It is great to be with you this morning, and we are certainly in a celebratory mood here on campus. After an especially very challenging academic year, to see our students be able to celebrate commencement with their families, it's a great feeling.
One of the challenges is being able to put everybody into a place and be able to adhere to the social distancing standards and all of those things. Luckily, there's a stadium to do that at.
Yeah, we're fortunate, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Hopefully, Mother Nature will agree with that.
I'll tell you, whatever rain gods we can pray to, that keep sending good thoughts your way on that.
This is Mental Health Month, and there are a number of initiatives that have been undertaken on campus to help students deal with their mental health. And it is such a important area for college age students to begin with, but an area that has taken on added importance, I think, during the course of this pandemic.
Yeah, certainly. There's certainly a heightened awareness with regards to student mental health and just mental health in general, I think. I think this pandemic has highlighted the importance of all of us to really be taking care of our own mental health and watching out for the mental health of others.
That said, what are the trends that you're seeing among students in dealing with their mental health matters?
So we've actually been working over the past year with a national foundation called the Jed Campus Foundation. And that foundation has been working with us on campus to help strengthen the support that we provide for college student mental health. That's a national foundation, and we became a Jed campus last spring. And so we have a team of about 30 people on campus, faculty, staff, and students from across the university that have been working together on a strategic plan that we've developed that has about 70 different action items on it, focused on how to strengthen college student mental health. And so we've really been putting a lot of effort into this area. And I think we've started to see it really begin to pay off with some really exciting initiatives. You know, certainly we've had some great support philanthropically recently from Charlie and Debbie Morrison. They gave us a $10.2 million gift for the purpose of strengthening well-being. And so we're excited to be standing up the Morrison Family Center for Student Well-Being here, hopefully by the start of fall semester. We've been able to survey our students as part of the JED project over this last year. And we did a survey of our students prior to the pandemic and then also right during the pandemic this fall semester. And we've learned, I think, some lessons in that. In the spring survey that we did, we learned that one out of three of our students that were responding to the survey reported having moderate or serious psychological distress. And then most concerningly, one out of five students responding that they met the criteria for higher suicide risk. Mm. And of course, I think folks know that suicide is the second leading cause of death for college students. And so it's really important that we continue to work efforts in this space and support our students. And I think we're making some good strides.
As someone who has walked the path of mental health treatment over the course of the years, dating back to, in fact, when I was a student, there's a stigma attached. There always is a stigma attached to this discussion. But I think in many ways, there's always been that stigma added to it that students have faced coming from varying locations. It doesn't matter where that stigma has been placed on them, but it's a tough area for young people to be able to maneuver through.
It's so interesting that you say that, Troy, because actually the survey data that we learned from our Healthy Minds survey that we did in the fall semester was really interesting in that students responded that they themselves don't think less of somebody in terms of talking about a mental health concern. But then a vast majority said that they thought that other people would feel stigma or feel some sort of bias towards somebody that had a mental health concern. So there's kind of this disconnect here. So it's been great to have some of the programs that we've been doing, such as, for example, our Green Bandana Project, which just started up this spring. And that program is intended to do the very thing that we're talking about, is reducing stigma. Tell you a little bit about that program. It's a national program that we've been participating in. And what happens is students who are interested in serving as a resource for other students who might want to learn more about what mental health services are on campus or well-being resources are on campus, they'll go through a brief training to learn about those resources, and then they'll get a green bandana to put on their backpack so that a student who sees that green bandana from another student on campus knows that that's a person that's safe to talk to about where mental health resources might be on campus. And so we've had almost 500 students this spring participate in that training. We've gone into fraternities and sororities. We've been invited into classrooms. One of the stories that I've already heard from a faculty member is they did the Green Bandana training, and one of the students that was in their class corresponded with the faculty member shortly after the program and said, "Hey, I'm one of those students who has a mental health concern. Thanks for doing this." And the faculty member was able to put them in contact with some resources that student wasn't aware of before. And so I think it's working.
That's the best news that we can say, is that it's working. How do you call attention overall with a large student population and a large number of students that are coming to campus from the varying places that they hail from? How do you work to ensure that the entire campus is aware of the services, are aware of the best ways to approach things? How do you work to do that?
Yeah, one of the steps forward that we did is, I don't think there's one single way. On a campus as our size, you cannot communicate enough. And so we look for lots of different ways to communicate with students in terms of what resources are available for them. But one of the things that I'm really excited about that we had a soft launch this spring, and we plan on launching extensively this fall with our new students coming in and our returning students, is a program called U at KSU. And U at KSU is an online resource that centralizes all of our well-being resources. So counseling information, information on financial well-being, information on physical well-being, all of the areas of well-being that are so important for our students are now in one spot. And so a student can go on to U at KSU, they log on with their university credentials, can log in and fill out a little brief questionnaire in terms of things that they might be interesting or experiencing, and then articles will come to them that's completely tailored to the responses that they gave, resources that might be available. And so we're really excited about the launch of that.
With the fact that so much of class has taken place online this year, what resources beyond that has the school been able to offer online to those who are seeking treatment?
Yeah. So our counseling services staff just did a fantastic job last spring, right at the start of the pandemic, when we went to remote operations. Our counseling services staff went to offering telehealth for our students. And so students are now able to not only do telehealth individual counseling sessions, but we've also had group telehealth sessions on a variety of topics, you know, ranging from dealing with anxiety to homesickness to we've had special group sessions set up for international students who have been experiencing some really unique challenges. You can only imagine what some of the anxiety might come from being away from home and depending upon what COVID might be like in your country, all the anxiety that could come from that and how that might be impacting your ability to focus. And so we've had really good participation in the telehealth area, which we hadn't done before prior to the pandemic. So, you know, I'm always a guy's half full kind of guy. And I think there's been some great lessons that we have learned during the pandemic that we'll want to make sure to carry on with us as we begin to move out of the pandemic. And one of those is access. How do we increase access to our counseling services. And certainly telehealth is one of those areas that we'd want to continue to move forward with and hopefully expand upon.
It's amazing that for years we've talked about what the internet could be and how it could help us in these ways, and yet we were resistant to them until the opportunity presented itself in such a way that we kind of got forced to have to make moves.
And I think, you know, I think our counseling services staff probably felt a little bit of that at first, I think, just because it was such a new type of environment. And there's a lot to be said, I think, in the value for that face-to-face, in-person counseling relationship. But the telehealth, I think, is a complement to that. And I think that's where our counseling services staff just did a fantastic job of pivoting during a really challenging time.
Credit to everybody for pivoting during a really challenging time, and not just with counseling services, but it has been a crazy 18 months. We've got Thomas Lane, the Dean of Students at Kansas State University, with us as we continue on in Focus this morning. Going forward with counseling services and the like, you brought up the large donation that is going towards that new center. Speak to what that center will do, at least in the hopes of what we would like to see developed there.
Yeah, so my hope for the center, my dream for the center, is that it'll serve several purposes. One is I mentioned about the surveying that we had done with students so that we could learn more about what was in a snapshot of what are our students thinking and feeling about mental health. We're now going to have a home where that can occur at. So the programs that we put on with regards to supporting college student mental health, they'll be able to be informed by data, and there'll be a central center that's coordinating that. Also, it'll be a center to help promote and coordinate our student life well-being programs. We have a number of different well-being programs for students that happen through counseling services, through Lafine Health Center, through our recreational services. And so being able to have that one spot that's promoting all of those activities and helping connect students to those activities is going to be really, really important for us. And I think effective in kind of what we talked about earlier is how do you communicate effectively with students? That's one way that we hope that the center will be able to thrive in. And then scaling up our participation. I think the center will have a role in, we currently have about 8% of our students who participate in peer counseling programs. And we know those programs are really, really effective for student success. And so we'd like to get that goal to be about 30% of our students as kind of that stretch goal for us. And so that would be one of the charges of the center is how do we look at scaling up those existing programs to really reach more students because we know that they benefit from them. And then probably another one of the most important pieces, I think, of the center is that it'll be the home for gatekeeper training that the university will offer to our campus community. So how do faculty, staff, and other students recognize the signs of when a student or a colleague might be experiencing a mental health concern? And when you've recognized them, what do you do? What role can you play in helping that person know about resources? Not to serve in a counseling role, but really just to be aware of and be an empathetic person to say, hey, here's some resources I can connect you to if you weren't aware of them. And so the center will be the home for that gatekeeper training that we'll be providing to faculty, staff, and students. And I'm really excited about that piece. We've taken our gatekeeper training from the Jed Foundation that I talked about a little earlier. And so we're really excited to see that come to fruition. And then just figuring out how we connect with students in ways that perhaps are non-traditional. So, for example, we've set up a podcast studio that will be within the Center for Student Wellbeing. And we've already started generating podcasts from our student organization called Thrive. And that's a student organization that's focused on mental health. And so I think we're now on episode 6 for that Thrive podcast. And we have found out that we've got listeners of the podcast in Germany and in France. I have no idea how they've heard about it, but it's great to see that there's folks that are listening because the episodes have been really fascinating. And I would encourage listeners to take a listen. It's called the Thrive podcast. You can find it on Stitcher and Spotify, all of your traditional podcast platforms, but we've had, episodes on mindfulness and how we can be more present in our everyday lives. We had a doctoral student who is a single parent who shared her experience and why it's important to build a support network. We've had an episode with one of our social work faculty members, Lorenza Lockett, who talked about the intersection of race and mental health. And we've had an episode on resiliency with one of our doctoral interns in the counseling center. So really, really great, great content that's coming out in different ways that we know students tend to use more so than perhaps an email sharing resources.
Again, Thomas Lane, the Dean of Students at Kansas State University, with us in this half hour of In Focus. We continue in a moment. Glad to have you along on a Friday at News Radio KMAN.